Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Tuesday, April 16. Nathan Buckley shared his immediate reaction to the medical retirement of Collingwood Premiership defender Nathan Murphy.
It is disappointing for the young man from a professional standpoint. He had to work hard to get his opportunities. He chose football over cricket. He was a very good cricketer. And he was courageous to a fault. He used to go back, like even the VFL when he was coming in, lightly framed. It took a while for us to work out where to play him. He was a half-forward flanker in the junior footy, marking player, lead-up player. Started playing him on the wing, and then he went down back. Just kept going back into the hole, knocking himself out. It happened consistently at training, in games. And then he had a really bad ankle injury. So he struggled through his first probably 24 months, three seasons in the AFL system. And he blossomed. He had a few opportunities in 2018, but he blossomed when he got his opportunity as a deep back and as a tall back, and was a significant part of the premiership last year. So it's a real shame for him from a professional standpoint. But in the end, he's a great young man. He has put his best foot forward consistently. He's made a decision that, along with the medicos, that he's had to make, and he's got a bright future ahead of him at whatever he wants to chase because of his attitude and his, the character that he is.
And Buckley assessed the messaging of Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge.
Does that provide the clarity that Beveridge left a bit murky after Friday night?
Yeah, I think it does, but it's never enough to sate, the angry pack that are baying for blood, or want immediate results. Now, I want to win the premiership in round six. Let's win it. It can't happen. Texts has come in. You guys need to open your bloody eyes. Stop going after coaches when it's clearly the players. I do think that in these instances, we do go to the pointy end. And the one position that is responsible for any ill and any success is the senior coach. And I think Bevo, I've looked at Bevo at different times and I've thought, I've fallen into the same thing. I think he's stubborn, but I think coaches need to be stubborn at times. They need to be stoic at times, and they need to believe in the way they view it. I think he's combative, but I think coaches need to be combative at times. I also know that he's been a perennial winner over his time, so maybe he hasn't been in these situations as often as he might have over the years, especially with this level of scrutiny and publicity. I don't fall into the disconnect in a football club. I don't think that is. There are always there's always friction amongst football clubs and the key parts of a football club when you're trying to build your next version of what's successful for you. I do think they should have won that game on the weekend, and I do think that their team, the team that hit the park, should have performed a lot better than it did. How much of that is due to coaching? How much of it is due to selection? It's all been slated down to the selection of two players out of 23. I don't think that is a finite reason for their performance on the weekend.
Terry Wallace offered his view on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, confusing. I must say, I'm sort of confused with what's going on there. I'm a little bit with those that are they playing for now or are they playing for the future? And I can't understand the Jack McRae stuff and where that sort of sits and him being almost shoved sideways. Does he stay? Does he go? They've got some enormously good young tall talent coming through. I was really surprised 12 months ago with the acquisition of Rory Lobb. I just didn't see with the development they were going to be needing to put into Darcy, who looks like he's going to be a star. And they've got Croft on the sidelines, still to sort of come, who's a really big lump of a lad as well. Hugo Hagen down there. I just didn't see a position for the other bloke to be in the side. It's got nothing to do with him or his ability, but I just, if you're going to develop the right guys, are you going for now? Are you going for later? It's very, very confusing and a little frustrating watching on from the sideline.
And Plough with his early memories of legend Jason Dunstall.
So first memories, a young kid who looked pretty lost down here, and you see Jason now with the aura and confidence that he's got. It's hard to sort of think of a young kid who sort of shy and almost unsure of himself in his surrounds. Him and his girlfriend come down and they're living in this little pretty ordinary flat in Power Street, Hawthorne, and I sort of felt almost a bit sorry for him at that early stage because he didn't know anyone in Melbourne. And so I sort of took him under my wing and I found out pretty quickly that he loved the horse races. He loved the races. So me and him, originally we would go midweek, whether it be to Flemington or to the Moonee Valley or to Caulfield and Sandown, go off to the races. And that's sort of where our friendship started to build. And in those early days, I can remember Jared sort of him coming back to my place and having a beer after a game and sort of saying, when he first started getting into the senior side, saying, well, I think I'm leading exactly the way I would at home and I'm getting out, but these blokes just won't kick it to me. And I sort of turned around to him and sort of said, well, that's because they've kicked it to Lee Matthews, to Lethal Lee for probably the last decade. So it's sort of hard to get it out of their habits. So he found it difficult in those early days playing alongside of Lee, but it was only the next 12 months that he took control of the whole forward line. And the two blokes that were standing together both ended up being legends of our game.
And Bharat Sundaresan after Travis Head's IPL century.
We know what he can do, right, in white ball cricket. We've seen it in domestic cricket here in the BBL in the past. But this innings kind of just, you need that kind of launch pad, don't you? And I think he's made an impression, made a mark with this particular 100. And he's been striking that way throughout this IPL season. It's been a long wait. We speak about Mitchell Starc going 10 years without playing in the IPL. I remember Virat Kohli dropped Chris Gayle to bring Travis Head into the side way back in 2016 when Trav was just 22. But now I think he's there to stay. He will be seeing a lot of Travis Head in the IPL for years to come.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.